Sunday 12/14/25. This is the Faith Hall of Famers, part 12. The title is Called of God. There are a lot of men and women that have gone down in history as great. Many heroes have lived and died. Most of our history, fake history, the God of this world system, storylines, are where we derive this from, or this list from, these heroes and heroines. However, some may be noble and good, and some may not be. When you're dealing with a liar running the world, you're going to be calling the good guys bad and the bad guys good. Just look at our beloved president and how, with all the good he has done, are still trying nonstop to make him look evil. I want to look at his story today and see how God calls those he has chosen. Heroes in the world, whether they are soldiers, athletes, or world leaders, are all chosen from the world standards. God is not interested in anyone's credentials, their brawn, or their brains. There's not going to be annals of each sport Hall of Fame in heaven or wherever. That all going to burn up because it didn't amount to a hill of beans. But people give their whole life to attain it. Paul talked about the temporal prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From my understanding, by listening to Mike King, he's a historian, and he goes about 250 years, which is about how long we have been under the tyranny that we are under today. And just about everyone that they have made to look like a bad guy was actually the good guy, even Hitler. Now, a lot of people have problems with that. Why? Because you've been brainwashed. You've been told a lie. You've been told what they wanted you to hear. You've been told Satan's narrative. But you were not told the truth. Okay, let's go to verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. It's not by our own efforts. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The only hall of fame that God is interested in is his hall of fame. He doesn't care about sports, academics, whatever else. He doesn't care about that. Let's go to chapter 2 here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We ain't got nothing. We got God. The wisdom of this world is not what God uses. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Man, I tell you what, God does one act of power and it turns everything upside down. They'll forget about somebody just now being put in the Faith Hall of Fame. Big whoop, they get their few minutes of glory on the TV and there it goes. Nobody ever thinks about it again. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, Regardless of what men think, God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows our perfect history, and He can reveal it to us at any time. He's revealed to me things about Danny's family. He's revealed things to me about my own family that I didn't even know. He knows it all. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You want to know something? Ask the Holy Spirit. He knows it all. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You don't have to be concerned about somebody's twisted a word in the Bible or whatever. The Holy Spirit, He can show you whatever you need to know. He's the teacher of the church. Jesus is the Word of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's no longer a temple made with hands he dwells in, but in the hearts of men. Nobody can take that away. You can clearly see here God's qualifications and men's qualifications. Right here, mighty means powerful or capable. Not many mighty. Not many powerful and capable are called into the kingdom of God. Why? They can't get past their own greatness. God is not interested in that. If you have all these things in your life and God has called you, He will work it all out of you before He will ever use you. Most people think, well, I've got this talent, so this is what God has called me to do. Bull. Nothing could be further from the truth. You'll spend your whole life in soulishness and flesh and stand before Him and He'll say, well, you never even connected with my plan. What do you want from me now? You didn't want nothing then. I don't know you. All the flesh, all have flesh to deal with, and God will work with you to crucify your flesh. Okay, we're going to look at this for a minute. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, Paul here. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified means to impale in company with. Galatians 3, 1 and 2. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You can't get it by works, but by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Boy, that says it all. God isn't into men's things and what men do and all their fleshly things. He is not. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the Christ of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I have seen this pattern in Christians and non-Christians alike. They think that whatever they are good at is what they need to pursue as a career. They look to their strengths to pave their way. Natural gifts or talents might be used by God, and they might not. I guess it would depend on what these talents are used for, as God dictates. If a person uses that talent for God's dictates, I don't know. The only one I can think of really is Jesse Duplantis. He is a rock singer, very gifted musician, but God didn't use him in that area. That's what he was in the world. God doesn't use him in that area. Have you ever seen him sing or play an instrument? No. Natural gifts or talents might be used by God, and they might not. Most all in the body of Christ that have these types and talents look just like the world in my book. They do it for money. And this isn't this merchandising of the anointing? I would say for sure that it is. Because it seems like they get well known, they start going to church, and they discover their talents before you know it. They've got books out, and they've got concerts, and they make money. I'm not judging anyone in what they do, but is that all God's doing, or is that just the church acting like the world? To me, it sounds just like the church acting like the world. If we would just, you know, now you could say, well, I'm going to have a concert, but this concert is to win the lost, and we're not charging any money for it. So when people come to this concert, they hear the gospel message, and then they come to the Lord. But from what I've seen, I see no difference between the world and the church in this respect. And there's others that too. Rick Renner wrote a book on it. So, let's keep going here. 1 Timothy 6. People are saying, well, okay, do nothing. Now God's finally got you where he wants you. When you can't do nothing, you're finally getting somewhere. Because you're available to God, and whatever he says to you, you'll do it. Because he's emptied you of everything, right? Okay, 1 Timothy 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherewith thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witness a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Just churchy stuff. Natural inclinations are no qualifications that matter to God. He has a plan, and he will work his plan and who he has called, and they will not be separated to that call until he is satisfied they can give him the glory and not take it for themselves. It hurts. It hurts to be killed, doesn't it? This whole flesh, it hurts. It just wants to rise up and cause problems. Colossians 1:27. Well, where's Colossians? There it is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about men's talents and their whatever. Because I know this, when people come into churches, they pick the ones with the best natural talents to do stuff. Well, you're good at this and you're good at that. In fact, the last church we went to did test you. It wasn't about spiritual testing, it was about natural gifts that you have. Oh, you play the piano, that's good, we'll use you here. Or you do this, oh, that's good, we'll use you here. That's not what God's talking about. That's man's way. God wants to get glory through the vessel he has chosen and set apart to train. Even his very own son said this. This is John 14:10. That's why I couldn't find it in the other one, because I wrote it in this one. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus spent his time in the wilderness to execute Father's plans. I believe I can safely say that few have walked this path. This is why the Faith Hall of Fame has so few in it. It's not because they were not called, but something got in the way of their training, or they turned back from following the Holy Spirit and shipwrecked. 1 Timothy 1:19 talks about shipwreck, about Hymenaeus. Let me look at that, make sure I get it right. Right here. Well, I'll start with 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Yeah, tough call. Shipwreck means stranded. Stranded from navigation. In other words, you're dead in the water. You may run off and do all these things, but you're dead in the water as far as God is concerned. If he can't navigate you, he can't use you, okay? In other words, they were being navigated by the Holy Spirit, the flesh kicked in. God's plan was dead in the water, but the flesh moved on with its agenda. Now, what most people do? All have been called from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25. There's so much in these parables of Jesus. I'm going to start with verse 31 there. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender. And putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
What chapter are you reading?
This is 20. I'm reading 24, aren't I? Sorry, it's 25. I thought, okay. Yeah, I messed up there, sorry. Go to 25. That's good too. Anyway, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand, come ye blessed to my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in, naked and clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. In other words, God directed these different people in different areas to do certain things, and they obeyed. They followed him. They did what he asked of them. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life, life eternal. Well, that beats once saved, always saved, all peace, doesn't it? The unrenewed mind to God's plan is distracted with every new penny that shines up at them. Satan's constant distractions to attract them anywhere but where God wants them to be. There's people, it seems like they just cannot seem to get it. They cannot seem to stay put and let God work in their life. Next thing you know, they flitted off somewhere else doing somebody with their bestie. In other words, they're being navigated by the Holy Spirit and the flesh kicks in. God's plan was dead in the water, but the flesh moved on with its agenda. Isn't it always easier to go with the flesh? It is. The Faith Hall of Famers are our real heroes, and they did it God's way. Lord, we pay tribute to them today, everyone. Either they're in the Faith Hall of Fame or will be. I believe there's another one in heaven that's got them all. Jesus talked about that he's going to put a name in the pillar of his God. You'll have a new name written. They did not turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to God's plan. They were all in. The Faith Hall of Famers dared to believe God. They heard, they obeyed, and this is why we have this passage in the Bible, Hebrews 11, 1 through 40. Many have been called, but few chosen. For many, the fire just got too hot. All of them suffered, but it did not prevent them from fulfilling God's plan for them. For some, they just gave up. Or they give up and they love, but they don't obey God. See, they say they love God, but they don't obey God. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? What they did will be documented for all eternity. It will not be like a temporal crown, like the Faith Hall of Fame or whatever else. I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 9, then we'll be done. This is verse 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The humble will not stumble. They found the pearl of great price and gave up everything to have it. Okay.